it. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what has been spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young shall see visions, and your old shall dream dreams. Even upon slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come in the whisper, come in the wind, come in the flame and the fire, come into our hearts. Come. Amen. So, the stage has been set. The actors know their parts. The extras are gathered. The technicians are ready to go. The story is amazing and true and heart-wrenching. It promises to be an event, an extravaganza, a blockbuster, we're told. Lights, camera, action. And the curtain goes up and everybody is hushed. How many of you saw the wedding? Now, you all thought I was talking about Pentecost, didn't you? How many watched the wedding? How many caught something of the wedding on the news later? You couldn't miss it. It was everywhere, right? It was like this amazing event. And you can bet that it was planned with a great deal of detail and purpose, right? And we could experience something of the winds of change that were blowing through this old cathedral, couldn't we? Especially when the bishop got up to speak, right? Seriously, could you see their faces? Like, what is this? Honestly, the Spirit came in a new way into that sanctuary and they were surprised. But it was the Spirit of God just the same. the Spirit of love. Right? It was an amazing event. And I think whenever the TV can show a church service where people are smiling and engaged, when we're talking about love and the power love has in the world, then I know that the Spirit is alive and well in the world. But maybe that's not the event you were thinking about. Graduation is coming up. And let me tell you, that is also a big event in young people's lives, right? It's also one that's choreographed right down to the minute. And it involves all the main people, you know, the families and the graduates, but then there's all these extras that are participating too, and we are all there for this glorious reason to celebrate accomplishment and learning. Young people being stretched this way and that, right? And all the potential that's in them. And I think, yes, the Spirit is alive and moving in the world. But of course, the event you all were thinking about was Pentecost, right? It would make a great movie. Of course, it would be a sequel, right? And sequels don't always, you know, do well. Unless, of course, it's a Star Wars sequel, right? Or Toy Story sequels are pretty good, right? And I personally am looking forward to Deadpool. But indeed, this is a sequel because the main event, of course, is the Easter season that we have just celebrated. The good news of God's love for us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? That's the big event. That's the thing we've been celebrating and moving towards. And then comes along the sequel, Pentecost, right? In the church, we celebrate it one day. That's not promising much. And yet, it's one of the most powerful events in the church's history, right? It's in fact the thing that inspires and empowers and enables the church to be. Now, I could talk about the voice, the languages everybody spoke, and I could talk about the big wind, and I could talk about the flames on everybody's head. Did you all envision those on y'all's heads? But what I want to talk to you about is what Peter suggests in an explanation for what's happening. People are complaining and suggesting these folks are just drunk. Nobody knows what's going on. They're just... And yet they're hearing something in their own language. Still, it doesn't make any sense to them. And Peter stands up to say, this is what it is. It is what the prophet Joel has imagined and prophesied to us years ago. It's about young men and women having visions and old men and women dreaming dreams and sons and daughters prophesying and even slaves, men and women included. This is about the Spirit coming down upon all people. Up till this time, the Spirit kind of came upon people, you know, one or two at a time. Not in a whole bunch like this, right? And somehow it's coming in a new way, in a powerful way, amongst these people, this ragtag band of disciples. But not just them, also the folks that have gathered because of the sound and the chaos and the possibilities. So dreams and visions and prophecy. That's the gift of the Spirit on Pentecost. On all of us, we all get to have dreams and visions and prophesy. So I'm going to start with prophecy because that's the one that makes us most uncomfortable, right? Who here feels they are a prophet? No prophets in the room? But you all have been given the gift of prophecy. Not the kind that can tell the future. The kind that speaks the truth. You are called to be God's voice in the world, to speak the truth of what you see and what God is calling us to be. To speak the truth that violence is not the way God is calling us to go. that greed is not a part of God's vision for this community. That division and hatred is not what God had in mind for the church or for the world. You are called to speak the truth. You know it. The second thing is dreams. We all have dreams, right? Some good, some bad. But I'm not talking about the kind of dreams you have at night, although maybe you have these at nighttime. I'm talking about the kinds of dreams we have during the day. How many are daydreamers? Oh. We dream about something better, right? We sit in our office and we're slogging through the same old thing, and we dream about something better, traveling in an RV across the country. Right? We dream of something better. They're not a bigger home so much, but maybe a home that has less troubles in it. We dream of something better, right? Not the heaviness of this world upon our shoulders, but the lightness of the Spirit that lifts us up. We daydream about the world that God calls us to be, right? We daydream about relationships being reconciled and about people being forgiven. Are these the daydreams you all have? Because these are the ones I have. We dream about our church. How many here dream about our church? Daydream about our church. What kinds of things do you daydream about the church? Come on, you can say it. Full pews. And a well-funded budget. Moving forward. Not feeling like we're stuck. That's a good dream. What other dreams do we have? Engaged in the community. What other dreams? More children. Okay, if we want more children, we have to be willing to put up with more children. And we have to be willing to teach more children. What else do we daydream about? All the things that need to be done with pads. But how about if we dream bigger about a time when pads is not needed because there's affordable housing in our community? Or there's services to provide for folks with addictions and mental health problems. Right? These are the dreams not only for our church, but for our community. Right? That's the good thing about the dreams that God offers us. They're always pushing out. They're always pushing the boundaries. So the last thing God offers us is vision. So what's the difference between vision and dreams? That's always my question. It's like vision and mission. I get those two confused, right? But I think the vision that the Spirit gives us is the ability to not only see the truth in the moment, but the potential in the moment. To see not only the horrible things that are happening, but to see also where God's light is shining. So I don't think the vision is about a bigger picture. I think the vision is the eyes of God. We get to start to see these situations through God's eyes. We start to see our world as both God intends it to be and also as God sees the reality to be. And I think if we open ourselves up to the Spirit, we start to see with new eyes and hear with new ears. And speak with a new voice. The gift on Pentecost for many people is this wonderful cacophony of languages that were being passed around as each one of the disciples spoke and witnessed to what they knew and had come to know and love about Jesus Christ. And all the people could hear it and understand it. But along with that comes these gifts of prophecy and dreams and visions. And until we kind of connect with that, until we let the Spirit into us and help us to see situations both as they truly are and as God intends them to be, until we allow the Spirit to help us dream bigger than just having a nice PADS program to having a community that doesn't have homeless. As soon as the Spirit comes into us and gives us the courage to speak up, both about what we know and about what we believe, it really doesn't matter what language we say it in. We are called as people to dream, to see with new eyes, and to speak the truth as we know it. Amen.